English Language Teaching Under the Cover.
Hello and welcome to ELT Under the Covers Teaching Methodology Exposed. Today we are looking at ESA, Engage, Study, Activate. But first, introductions. I'm Neil of Team Teacher.
Hello everybody, it's Professor Rich.
ESA, it's in the classroom, Rich. What do we know about it?
It's marketing for PPP, isn't it?
It's marketing for PPP. Oh!
The rebranding.
Oh!
No, that's not my genuine opinion. I think that's the mistake. It's not actually that, is it? It's really, it helps to reconceptualize your approach to what might to the layman appear to be a PPP style format, but it refocuses the emphasis on the, for me, kind of more human elements of teaching, engaging and activating specifically. And we could say and studying, but okay, I don't see that as the more, studying is the thing that's quite present, quite obviously present in a PPP class. But does PPP necessarily engage the students? Well, now we're saying that engage is an important element, and it's good if it comes right at the start. You get them into it with your warmer. Now you can justify why your warmer is, I don't know, all the students get up and do interpretive dance for 5 minutes. You know, maybe in a PPP style format, the person watching that would be, what's that got to do with language?
Exactly.
But in ESA, you'd be like, hey, I got them on their feet and they got into it and they imagined stuff and whatever. I don't know. You can justify different things, though, and I think that's helpful because, you know, over the years, I've tried all kinds of weird things in classrooms, and some things which you wouldn't think would be that interesting or even related to language can be surprisingly useful. I know Neil's now having all kinds of images in his head. I'll give one example, which I do quite a lot, actually, and this was a Jamie Keddie thing, really, who got me into it. Not that he's the only person who does this, but a lot of his lessons have this element, which is drawing and getting the students to draw stuff. And even spending significant amounts of time, you know, 15 minutes working on an individual drawing, not necessarily with a communicative element. Sometimes you can have communicative elements where they're describing drawings to each other and stuff, but also just giving them some instructions and getting them to draw something, because it creates all kinds of investment on their part, and it has that element of creativity, creation, personalization. They start to invest in it, and you know, there's a real excitement when then they show that to the other students. So, you know, you can really justify that quite strongly with a, well, I'm getting them into the class. I'm engaging
them. Hooking them.
Yeah. Hooking them and giving them an emotive sort of memory that they can latch onto and then connect the language to. And many people initially on seeing that might feel a little bit skeptical to start with, particularly students themselves. There's often a bit of resistance the first time you do something like that, where some students will be like, what is this, art class? You know, and also a lot of, I can't draw, blah, blah, blah. And it's not until you do it a few times, they kind of understand, oh no, it's fun, because then we all get to see each other's drawings and laugh, and we remember those classes and stuff like that. So my kind of rambling, long-winded, weird, whatever the hell I'm talking about here is that, you know, it's nice that we have this kind of refocus with ESA. I am quite excited to see what we're going to see today with ESA, though, because although I've read a lot of the literature about ESA, I don't think I've actually seen it kind of in practice outside of my own sort of conceptualization of planning classes and how I teach. Like, I've never got into someone's classroom where they've been like, yo, I'm doing ESA, check it out. So I would be quite interested to see what people call ESA and what we get to see with that.
Ah, okay. So we got two parts coming up. First, we're going to do a deeper dive to give more background to people watching, people listening, about what ESA is, and also the configurations of ESA, which is an important thing to remember and talk about. And then we're also going to look at a class that's modeled with ESA, but I'm going to have a caveat with that and say that for one person's ESA can be different to another person's ESA. So, you know, like being subjective, being engaging can be somewhat subjective. So you kind of have to take yourself out of it sometimes. And I kind of think it applies to this example as well. Engage, study, activate, ESA is a method of sequencing activities in your lesson and was first proposed by Jeremy Harmer in his book, How to Teach English. You might be under the impression that ESA is the same as PPP, presentation, practice, production. Like PPP, there are three stages. Each stage of ESA roughly corresponds to PPP, but the idea with ESA is that the stages can be moved around more fluidly or even be used more than once. Let's see how this works. These stages can be moved around like building blocks to form different lesson sequences to better suit the learning objective. There are three common sequences that teachers use with ESA, and Harmer calls these straight arrows, boomerang, and patchwork. A straight arrow ESA sequence is the most like PPP and follows the order engage, then study, then activate. Engage sets the context and raises the learner's interest. For example, show a video of animals, ask learners which animals they like and why, and you try to elicit adjectives that describe the animals. Study introduces a language point and practices its correct use. For example, you board a list of adjectives collaboratively with the learners and provide a basic structure for them to be used. Then have a few activities like gap-fill exercises, matching exercises, guessing games, etc. to practice a language point in a controlled manner. Teachers make sure the language point is being used correctly. Activate. Learners are given a longer, freer practice activity to build fluency. For example, a group or pair work project where students have to create a new hybrid animal which they present to the class at the end. A boomerang EASA sequence is like a test, teach, test structure. It's basically to check learners' accuracy around a language point. Then they review or elaborate on it to further improve the accuracy or to deepen the understanding and then build more fluency. A patchwork sequence is the most flexible model and it doesn't have a particular order. In fact, it changes in response to the learners. Learners losing interest? More engaged stage. Learners losing accuracy? More study stage. Learners losing fluency? More activate stage. As you can see, the sequence is fluid in order to meet the needs and level of the class. With ESA, it is something that was conceptualized by our Lord and Savior, Jeremy Harmer. And yeah, like you mentioned, it is that reconceptualization of PPP, but also it's just, you know, it helps the way that PPP helps me kind of like construct a lesson. The ESA is more for me conceptualizing how to kind of run a class. So, you know, I mentioned in that previous video, you know, where you're kind of like, the students are losing interest, right? I need to kind of get it back to engaging again. Or, you know, like they're not being so accurate with their language, or maybe we need to do a little bit more practice, a little bit more study. Or, you know, like they're engaged, they know what they're doing. Okay, let's just let them roll. Just let them roll with fluency. So I love that idea of like the patchwork sequence of just where you go, where the focus is, what the focus becomes, what do the students need at this time, and what kind of stage do I need to be in to deliver that? That's one of my biggest takeaways from ESA.
Well, that's the boomerang thing, isn't it? More than ESA itself. It's the kind of BS, the boomerang versus the straight arrow.
Well, no, there's the three. There's the straight arrow, the boomerang, which is kind of like your kind of like a test teats test. You're kind of moving between two, and then patchwork is where it's just all over the shop and it's in kind of response to student needs.
Yeah. Right. So that's the it's that sort of side of it, which. I think it is important, and I guess it's one of the reasons why people might kind of see it as a more kind of fleshed out or advanced version of PPP, because it's now saying to the teachers, look, you have the opportunity of, or in fact, you should be making these sort of moment-to-moment teacher decisions rather than being glued to your straight arrow plan.
Yeah.
It's useful to have this justification. And I mean, you know, for me right now, teaching... Like, you know, I'll chop and change things a lot compared to how I've planned, especially in day-to-day classes when, let's be honest, you don't necessarily spend 3 hours planning a class like you would for an observation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're working, you know, you have to get your planning done. And, you know, sometimes things don't fit. They bomb. I realize that an activity just isn't working. Sometimes I'm in the class and I think of an activity that just seems like a really good idea right there and then. And then it is, you know, all kinds of things happen, which are, you know, sort of almost improvisational.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as you, the more of an experienced teacher you become, the more that you should free yourself up into that kind of thing. And it's risky. Sometimes things bomb, but that becomes all part of your development as a teacher and sort of feeds back into your intuition about what will work and won't work.
Yeah, that's great. And I completely agree. And I when you mentioned that the PPP is like an evolution or considered to be like an evolution of ESA, I agree and I can see that. And it's like you start with the straight arrow. This is what you hold on to, that rigidity of that, because you don't know what you're doing when you're first starting out. And then you kind of move and you're like, oh, maybe I can move between two things. And you kind of move into boomerang. And then you get to the point where you've built up this cache, this bank of teaching experience and materials and intuition that you gain from doing these practices and what you think will work here or what doesn't work here. And then you have that patchwork. And I think ESA facilitates that more than PPP. And then I think beyond that, we start just going into dogme, and we will be looking at that very shortly. So remember, if you're watching, listening to this, to like, share, subscribe, and remember to get that bell on whatever platform that you're on, so to be notified, because that's coming. The dogme is in the pipeline.
Oh yes, and that one's going to be special, because we have actually got Jeremy Harmer coming on for that, haven't we?
Yeah, that'd be kind of weird though, because Scott Thornberry, you know, he was the guy that went with it. But you know, we do consider Jeremy Harmer to be our deity.
We've got Jamie Keddy, Jeremy Harmer, Scott Thornberry, Adrian Underhill, and Scrivener, and they're all coming on for the Dogme special.
Yeah,
they might cancel, but they're booked in at the moment in our heads. So anyway, I'm excited about that. But anyway, getting back to ESA then.
Yeah,
I can see where you're going with that, and I agree. And I'd quite like to see kind of an example now and maybe have a chat about that.
Yeah, we'll jump in. It's a shorter one, so it's being clipped up. So we're going to have to probably pause at certain points to emphasize the different stages and perhaps how we would do it differently. But it's a nice little short framework that we can have a look at, an example that we can look at. Jeremy Harmer's book.
Morning, everybody.
Morning.
I'd like to show you some phrases. Where would you see these phrases, do you think? Let's look at this one. You mustn't leave your mobile on. Where do you think you would see that? Okay, now have a look at this picture. Look at this picture. Somebody broke a rule.
Somebody
broke a rule. And something has happened to him or her. This. Can this person drive away?
No.
No. How can they take this off the car?
Broken their lock.
They could break the lock. Or
the fine.
Good. You have to pay a fine and then they unlock it. Okay, this is a clamp. Everyone? Clamp.
Clamp. Clamp.
With your partner, can you think what rule did this person break? Okay.
What happened?
Not parking here.
Yes.
Here.
They
parking in a place that is not allowed to take the car.
Yes. Yes. Probably in London. It happens a lot in London. How does the driver feel about this, do you think?
Annoyed,
yeah. This rule is very annoying, isn't it? Okay, we're going to look at rules which are annoying today, rules which make us feel a bit angry. Could you look at these two situations and can you think of some rules that there are when we drive or when we fly? Think of some rules. So we know one rule in the car, and that's
parking.
Yeah, we can park in some places. In some places, we can't park. Can you think of some more rules for driving and flying? Just talk to your partner for a moment.
Where? And the traffic of the airplanes, a lot of different things.
Okay.
I have to say, so far, there's a lot of elements of this which are very similar to how I normally teach, especially this teacher's, some of the elements of this teacher's style. Certainly not the way she talks.
It's the dress, right?
it's the constant head nodding.
Yeah.
No. Just it's more about her material, actually.
Yeah.
And how she's introducing the topic. So there's a little bit of a kind of a deep end / TBL thing going on there where she's asked them, because she's asked them about rules in cars. And I am predicting perhaps that the language point is going to be related to rules, like giving rules. So she's already given them a chance to actually show what they already know about rules, which we're going to see now when they talk about the rules in cars. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I'm not saying for certain because we could go anywhere with the language point. It could be about transport, could be all kinds of stuff. But my intuition is telling me there's a possibility that we're going to be doing rules. Mm-hmm. And obviously she hasn't given them any language for that yet, but she's just given them a chance to talk about rules, which is something that I do a lot of, even though I'm not doing like a full on TBL style class, giving the students the opportunity to sort of show me what they already know. And also realize themselves what they don't, because when students feel frustrated because they haven't got a certain language, then it helps them to realize the utility of learning that language when you come to the study bit. So I really like how this has started.
It's a very soft engage for me. It's not something, it's not kind of my style. I would really heavily lean into kind of trying to not just elicit language but elicit emotion. For me, engaging is about trying to capture emotion, and if I'm going over rules especially annoying rules, I would be and doing an interactive whiteboard class like that, I would be looking for something that really kind of takes people into that concept. So, you know, like if it's like rules, especially annoying rules or something like that, I'd be trying to find a clip, you know, like something like you know, like a Mr. Bean, you know, where he's been told not to do something and he's all frustrated and you're like, I know what, you know, so you can kind of, you can emulate, the students can emulate, or, you know, even just clips from movies. Like the one that came to mind is that, do you remember that movie Falling Down with Michael Douglas?
Oh yeah, love it.
Yeah, where he goes into the, where he goes into the fast food place and he's like wanting to order breakfast and it's like 1 minute after they stop serving breakfast and they're like, oh, that's the rule. And he's like, but it's 1 minute after, man. And he's like, just give me the breakfast. You know, so because there's artists out there that have created these movies, songs, shows, cartoons that just succinctly and in a way better than I could ever do to convey that emotion. So, you know, like one part I see of my job is to find like those things and to then show it. And then people are just instantly, they're sucked into the vortex. And then they can be like, what else can you think about that really annoys you with this sort of thing?
Yeah, I totally agree. And something that we'll have to talk about at some point, it's another kind of methodological approach. It's called narrative contextualization.
It's
not something that I know a lot about, but I do kind of, I do like it. And it seems like you're inputting just a little chunk of that there when you kind of bring these stories into the class, these films and stuff. There's a little bit of narrative contextualization where you're basically using a narrative to contextualize it. In a full-on narrative contextualization class, you contextualize the whole class. So you actually would bring the students into that situation. Like, just, you know, maybe you'd be setting up a role play where they go into a restaurant and break a rule and get told off for it or whatever. But
Okay. So they're like being plugged in rather than just observing.
You involve them in the story in a way that, you know, it becomes kind of a role play. So one of the examples that I, without going into a great deal of detail, one of the examples that I was told about in one of my training sessions was a young learner's class where the class was based around an episode of Phineas and Ferb.
Okay, yeah.
And in this show, there's Platypus, who's actually a secret agent. And basically, they all became like assistants to Perry the Platypus. And that was what the whole class was about, right? You are now all detectives helping Perry the Platypus solve this mystery. And you know, that was kind of the whole part of the class. So it was all a big sort of role play and bringing the kids into the story. So that's the idea of narrative contextualization.
I like that. I probably would have steered it more and, you know, like set half of the students as prisoners and half of the students as wardens and kind of just give them all the wardens all the power and just kind of see where that goes in class. I'm pretty sure nothing bad would go wrong with
and
that.
Weapons. I mean, kids these days are just so responsible that they can be trusted. Anyway, don't do that. Are we ready to, should we continue?
Yeah, let's continue, please.
Driving first.
You need to
use a seatbelt.
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Maybe.
Is it annoying?
Maybe.
No. Okay. Safety. Yes, so it's okay.
Okay.
What about a rule for flying? Could somebody give me a rule for flying?
Can't
smoke. Okay. Is it annoying?
Yes.
I think.
I love the honesty. I love it because it is, but it's also annoying for people that, you know, that have to deal with other people's smoke. Yeah, but that's what I mean. You know, like I you want that honesty. You want that
emotions. Yeah. Good. Yeah. And I, to be honest, I think we're in a seatbelt's annoying as well. Yeah. Maybe I'm alone in that.
I think it is. Do you know? You know, the size of my gut.
One of the things that really irritates me is when I get into a car. That's another thing that the lesson could be about, by the way. It could be about expressing feelings of irritation.
Yeah.
But one of the things that really irritates me is getting into a car and, I haven't put the seatbelt on yet, but I'm just kind of starting up the engine and getting moving. And then it's like, these days, ding, ding, ding. And it's like, yes, I know. I know I haven't put my seatbelt on. How do I turn off this annoying binging sound? And you can't.
Yeah.
It's your car, but you can't.
Yeah.
Unless you take a hammer and smash the speaker.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Lots of annoying things out there.
Mm. Okay.
We're going to listen to six people complaining about rules they find annoying. They're not happy. Listen, what exactly annoys this person? What exactly?
Module 11.
Okay, let's listen to B. This time we don't know what the person is complaining about. So listen and write down what the person is complaining about. It's a rule that annoys them.
B. One recent rule that's been introduced is having to pay before you board the buses. I understand that this is supposed to speed up the process of getting on the bus, but I find this really annoying. I've seen people running for the bus with heavy shopping, and they can't get on because they haven't paid. Also, I think the problem is if you haven't got the right change or the ticket machine isn't working, it means you can't get on. So I think the law needs to be looked at.
Can you just check with your partner what this person was complaining about? What did you think? Okay, let's check together. Mariana, what did you two think it was?
Is have to pay before get on the bus.
Yeah. And why is that annoying?
The woman say for her is annoyed. Have to pay before get on the bus.
Yes. Why is that annoying? What problems does it cause?
Don't let them get away with it.
Change is a problem. Yes. Okay.
And your ticket machine doesn't work.
Oh yes. Let's have a look. Very good. Paying before you board the bus. Okay. I'm going to play these now quite quickly. So listen and write what each person is complaining about. Afterwards, you can check together. Okay. C.
C.
C. Okay. Yes. Focuses on, Barbara now focuses on some language that they've heard. So she's done all the answers, gone through them. Now they're focusing on the language from the extracts.
You heard these phrases. This one is already done for you. One rule I find really annoying is, okay, the two parts of the phrase have been
put
together.
Yeah, it's language for talking about what irritates you, isn't it? Yeah, I like it. It's good. So it is kind of a bit deep end or teach test teach or whatever I was kind of going on about before. But just wasn't the language point I thought it was, which was initially, which was about rules. It's actually about expressing annoyance. Mm-hmm. And also, yeah, love it. It's using phrasal language. You know that I love phrases. I'm all about phrases. Rather than individual words, and that's clearly what she's doing here. And surprise, surprise, it's cutting edge, which cutting edge is what a lot of people refer to as the kind of go-to task-based learning light course book and lexically focused. It is actually a grammar syllabus, just like every other course book on the market, but it's probably one of, if not the most lexically focused course book series.
Is this an endorsement? Is this an endorsement?
I was about to say, they're not paying me anything to say this, by the way. They bloody well should be. But there's essentially just two course books that I regularly dip into. And that's, honestly, it's English File and Cutting Edge. I like both of them. But I probably like the ideology or the methodology of Cutting Edge more. And then the content of English File I tend to prefer. Especially the older ones. I don't like the new editions. Anyway, totally getting off track.
One, number three together. I find. What do you think is the end of this phrase?
This really annoying.
I find, yes, say it again, please.
I find this really annoying.
Okay, let's try. Could you open your books on page 114, please? Yes. Now match these, the beginning and the ending. Thank you.
Yep, and that is a Cutting Edge Intermediate Second Edition that the students have got there. It's a good book.
Okay, everybody. Let's have a look.
What is that?
This one's quite difficult. Let's have a look at this one.
Again. And what's really annoying is it's totally unnecessary because I've heard it 1,000 times and I don't believe that it would save my life anyway.
Okay, that one was difficult.
Oh, so it's from a text, a larger text.
That's the audio script.
Okay, so after going through all these answers, Barbara puts students in groups to talk about the rules which they find annoying. So I guess this is going to be that activate part.
Yeah, should be. Obviously, we're not really focusing on the study aspect that heavily. But I do have a few minor criticisms of that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Too much time. I haven't really got that much time anyway. But I think unless it wasn't shown, this could have done with a bit of pronunciation work.
I did see the chart on the board behind her. I was like, I wonder if she's going to have something going on.
Yeah, I reckon that's just always there in the classroom.
Yeah.
And I think because the focus probably wouldn't have been phonemes anyway. It probably would have been connected speech, just saying the phrases as phrases. Like if we notice when the students said it, they said, what was it? I find it annoying that. And she said it like that. Mm-hmm. And that would have definitely been a prompt for me to go, nice, okay, now try this. I find it annoying that, and get them to say that.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe with an example as well. I find it annoying that I have to wear a seatbelt.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe back chain it. Seatbelt. I have to. Have to wear a seatbelt.
Mm-hmm.
Find it annoying. And then maybe with the clap. Find it annoying that I have to wear a seatbelt.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, just my thoughts because, you know, I'm mad on that. Connected speech pronunciation.
Okay, can you stop now, please? Thank you. What was the most annoying rule that you found in your group? What was the most?
I have to say, I'm surprised at how easily she gets them to shut up. To put it in not a very polite way, talking about students. But yeah, like she just goes, okay, that's it now, please, and suddenly they all whoom. It's like, wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I work quite hard to try and get that in my classes, and it takes quite a long time, and it really goes that smoothly. Normally takes a little bit of time.
Well, we only just see the upper portion of her body. We don't know what weapon she is holding.
Yeah, but she does do it quite well. She doesn't have to raise her voice that much, and that's something I encourage as well. I try to avoid like being one of those teachers that's like, okay, come on, oi, okay, shh, calm down. You know, I'll just kind of say, right,
Klaxon.
everybody, and then I just kind of stand there with my arms open. If that doesn't work, I start naming people, Irene,
Maria, and as you say their names, they notice, but it's not as smooth as this. I don't know if it's just because it's an ops or what, but
yeah. Barbara, if you're watching this, come on the show, ELT Under the Covers at gmail.com, and let us know your secrets. What weapon do you have there?
She's probably like a head editor, like one of those publishing studios by now.
This probably
like 15 years ago, isn't it? Yeah, I wouldn't. She looks pretty advanced. Yeah.
School, the cafeteria, the queue.
Ah, is that, what is the rule?
We have to make a queue for the, forget the lunch.
To queue in the cafeteria. Yes, it's annoying. Okay, and the rule that most annoyed you in this group?
Okay, we find, one thing that we find really annoying is in our house family, we don't have a desk and chair to work in the afternoons or to study or to use a laptop or something like this. And you need to go to your bed and work there, and it's not good for us.
Hey, yeah.
Okay, yeah. There. Yeah, I love it. You know, it's simple, it's straightforward. I think it's a decent example of ESA. Yeah, well done, Barbara. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, it was kind of a clean sort of straight arrow style ESA, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think what would be kind of spicy is to see someone doing a kind of more patchworky improv-y thing, which I think in an OBS or in a recorded class you're less likely to see, because teachers do, well, first of all, you plan it better, so normally you spend more time on planning, so it's less likely to require excessive improvisation, but also I think teachers do tend to want to stick to their plan in an OBS. I mean, you have to be prepared to defend your decision if you don't, right? And it's a very easy thing for an observer to criticize you on if you go kind of off piece, and then it goes wrong. So you do have to have a good rationale for it.
Yeah, I can see that. And if you have your lesson and you've got your lesson built as straight arrow, and then you're like, ah, shit, this activity, or it's not engaging right now, it's just going off a cliff, I'm gonna have to ditch that and we're gonna go patchwork, and I'm gonna go back to just, you know, like studying more, because, you know, they're obviously not getting it, so I'll throw in a few more practices. It's almost kind of acknowledging that your lesson plan was a bit shit. But yeah, you know, or it could be just that, you know, it just for whatever reason didn't land with this particular set of students. We all know that, you know, lesson plans vary per class, even if they're exactly the same, the different classes, it changes up. But yeah, I could see why people would be kind of a bit reticent to do it in an OBS, because it kind of snowball into other different areas. Yeah. So if you're out there and you're watching this, and you've got yourself recorded doing like a boomerang ESA class or a patchwork ESA class, get in touch with us. We'd love to see it, and we'll give you our feedback, and we can use it to demonstrate if it's any good to people watching and people listening, what that actually looks like. Because it's kind of like finding like a giant squid in the wild or something like that. You know, you catch it on a you know, a trail cam. Yeah, because they're on trails. I'm mixing analogies here, but you know, it's kind of a rare beast, because no one would really put it up there, because it's kind of a bit of an acknowledgement that that maybe that lesson plan or whatever activity you're doing is either not that good or not landing. But we'd love to see it. So send those through to eltunderthecovers@gmail.com. Remember to visit eltunderthecovers.com as well, and you can fill in the contact form. But what else can we say about ESA that we've not said?
Well, I think it would be nice to see kind of a variety of different lessons. And I suppose it might be quite difficult to find that.
just because, you know, it would be nice to see a bit of the patchwork thing going on, and some kind of more, particularly of the engage stage, because I think that's the critical one, isn't it? Because Activate kind of, it seems pretty similar to production, and Study is pretty similar to practice, even conceptually. But this engage is really the big difference, and it was engaging.
But it was PG. It was PG. It was a Pixar engaging. You know, it's like, oh, okay, yeah, it's annoying. And you know, if you're talking about something that's annoying, you're not just like, ah, damn, they've put a clamp on me. No, when you're talking about annoying, you're like a Basil Fawlty with the brush trying to get out the little dent in his car. It's that emotion, isn't it? It's stronger, so you want to be producing something more, you know, matching that. But yeah.
Yeah.
I'm hammering on that point.
No, that's it. I'm it's kind of nice just to see something that seems good little lesson. And what would be really interesting as well would be to see, I guess it's something we can talk about in future videos if we watch another PPP style class at some point, which we're likely to see, mm-hmm. where we can kind of plug in and say, look, what's gone wrong here is the fact that they haven't considered how engaging the lesson is. Mm-hmm. But I think that probably happens quite a lot, especially mm-hmm. with newer teachers. I mean, it's something that it kind of grinds my gears now. Like a lot of the times I might look at a lesson, it's exactly the language point and grammar that I want. Mm-hmm. But I won't touch it with a barge pole because I just look at it and I go, I don't know how to make this interesting to the students. So it's going to bomb and it's going to be boring for me and for them. Mm-hmm. And then I won't go near it. So, you know, it's a big part of the rationale. And it's definitely something that people need to consider a lot.
Definitely, definitely. Well, we'd love to hear your thoughts on Engage, Study, Activate. You know, leave us a comment below in whatever platform that you are watching or listening on. Give us some feedback to what you thought of this episode. And remember, please get in touch, especially if you have anything ESA related. But if you just want to come on the show, interview, let us know your approach to teaching, then again leave a message with us at eltunderthecovers.com or eltunderthecovers@gmail.com. if you're looking for more information from myself, you can go to teamteacherchina.com. We've got a whole bunch of materials, PowerPoints that you can use instantly in the classroom. We've got a Team Teacher China YouTube channel where we have videos teaching you how to use those materials. Team Teacher English, where we put those materials into a video form for self-study. And Team Teacher Baby, where I take my experience as a teacher and put that into parenting.
And go to YouTube.com / Professor Rich to see some English teaching. You can catch me weekly live streams on Oxford Online English YouTube channel. Oh, and also you can do a YouTube search for POG Space UK and you would get my alpha version of my new gaming channel, which actually just have some trial content on there at the moment. You can email us here at eltunderthecovers@gmail.com if you have anything you'd like to contribute to the show.
Smash that like button, share and subscribe.
And watch 100% of the video and don't click off. Thank you.
Bye.